It's Thursday, February 4th. It is 3 days away from Super Bowl 55 between the Kansas City Chiefs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz, Smarter Than You, and we will have you prepared for the game. We have props, fun wagers. We'll talk about the side, talk about the total, talk about the anthem, we'll talk about the Gatorade, talk about it all. But first, I want to welcome in Matt. Matt, this is our second year doing this on my podcast.
Yep.
But I do recall the first time we met was doing a Super Bowl prop show way back in 2017, I think.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's right. Oh my God. That was the Eagles game. The Eagles Pats.
Eagles Patriots, yes. And it was for action had not started kind of quite yet. And Matt's role was very odd. You had to wear shirts again. What was your role again?
Yeah, so we did a live stream with our friends at the Action Network, and we did a segment where I pitched a segment with myself as the star, which is sort of a pattern for me in my career, where the segment was called Win the Shirt Off of My Back.
Yes.
And you guys did like a prop bet fantasy draft, and I wore like every t-shirt I had, and every time one of them cashed, one of you guys would say like, oh, like Tom Brady over passing yards in the first half. And I would remove one of the shirts off of my person and give it to you guys. But I was wearing like seriously like 75 t-shirts. Like I was wearing every shirt I had. It was great. It was a great bit. Chad Millman, the boss there, like that was the first day he met me too. And he was like, sorry, what? Like, what are we paying you guys for exactly? For you to take shirts off and throw them at Jeff?
it was quite an experience. So we've had a lot of experience doing this Super Bowl prop show, and things have changed. I mean, they're even offering the Gatorade prop, and we'll talk about that, on sportsbooks now, legal sportsbooks. That used to be only an offshore deal. So look, what we're going to do is we're going to go through, like I mentioned, the game and our favorite props. Some of these props are going to be different everywhere, right? So I got some of these earlier in the week. Matt got some of these earlier in the week. Yep. Some are different on your favorite. We're not sponsored by anybody, so feel free to use whatever you want. Before we get there, though, two things we want to hit on very quickly. NFL stories. Before we obviously didn't hit on these the last couple of days because they just happened. So reports now out of Vegas that the Raiders will be willing to trade Derek Carr for Deshaun Watson. Look, anyone would be willing to do that outside of Seattle and Kansas City and maybe Buffalo. But the idea that they're publicly talking about this, Matt, is not surprising because I don't think Gruden has ever been in love with Carr. But they're kind of far away from winning even with Watson. So I'm sort of surprised this is being floated out there.
I think some of the latest rumors were that this would be like a three-team trade where Derek Carr would be like a package and Watson would be able to go and there, you know, maybe throw in like a Chicago or a Washington or something and they get a Carr. This to me, every Super Bowl week, there is a story like this. Yeah. Like there was one year where the story was, it was like 2 years before Kevin Durant was a free agent and Woj reported that he was potentially interested in going to the Warriors. And I remember because I was working on a show and we were doing like a live show and we had to talk basketball because like some weird thing came up. And then like Peyton Manning going to the Rams came up one year. Like every year there's like some wacky story that an agent plants to get some traction during this week when all of the media is usually congregated and just like looking for stuff to talk about. That's what this felt like to me a little bit. But I'm just wondering, like, who benefits? Because I don't exactly, like, I do think the Raiders want to move on from Carr. He has a pretty friendly contract. We were talking last week about just all of the potential dominoes that could fall with this quarterback situation. But I don't, like, I just don't see how the Raiders would, you said it, like, I don't see how they're that close to a Super Bowl with Watson or who would be willing to sort of, like, take on Carr to help to not get Watson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense other than John Gruden floating this out there to get just some attention back on his team. You know what I mean? Like I could see Chiefs Super Bowl week. All right. I'll just take some of the air out of the Chiefs to talk about Deshaun Watson. Like, the idea is you trade Carr and Waller and multiple picks for Watson. But what does that leave you with? A defense that's still shitty. Your best offensive weapon now gone. why? I know we talked about Deshaun Watson's no trade clause. Why would he want to go to Vegas in those with that team that's around him?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. This does feel like a Gruden plant. And then I did see that Gruden, I think on the PFF podcast, was talking about how great Derek Carr was.
Gruden has never seen all in on him.
He's clearly... No, he hasn't. And he shouldn't be, right? Like, I don't know. They've invested quite a bit for the weapons around him, and it's just never really come together.
It never has at the end of the season either. So, sticking a little bit, I guess, out west, because he coached most of his career there, but he does live in the city I call home. Marty Schottenheimer moved to hospice care in Charlotte, dealing with Alzheimer's, and so the end seems near for Coach. I don't think I ever played against one of his teams. He retired right before I was there, but man, he just was a good coach everywhere. Like, he just was one of those guys, was respected. I mean, he won 61% of his games in the NFL. That's really good, guys. Like, that's now the problem is in the postseason, he was 5-13. That's why obviously he got fired off a 14-win team in San Diego. But he, everywhere he went, man, he could coach.
Yeah, he did. I mean, tough. I feel like he had such tough luck at the end of his career. He had that one crazy season with Washington where he went 8-8 on like a team that started 0-5, and he got fired. And then he had such a great run in San Diego, but it never really materialized. I don't know. Wishing his family all the best. That's Alzheimer's is just the worst. So great coach.
It's interesting. Doing some research on Marty, came across a couple of things that took his luck, right? His tenure as NFL head coach concluded with 205 wins, which are the most of any head coach to not reach or win an NFL championship.
That's ironic that, you know, you think Chargers, you think Philip Rivers, and it's sort of the same story. Like, so prolific, but ultimately never really taken it to that final level.
Yeah. You know, part of those was the losses in San Diego as favorites, you know, to the Jets. And then I don't think they're favorites to the Patriots in 07, but they just, you know, never kind of got over the hump. So, and obviously, you know, great ties to Kansas City, as he was in Kansas City for many years and kind of got that offensive line rolling there, got that running game rolling a little bit as well, you know, kind of started that whole process of, you know, bringing that team into the early 2000s when they were rolling. That wasn't his, he wasn't coaching them, obviously, but he spent 10 seasons there and won 63% of his games, 3 division titles, 7 playoff appearances. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it would be a nice one for Chiefs fans if they're able to pull this out on Sunday.
Yeah, it would. All right, you want to get into the game, buddy?
So our last line of the 2020-21 season, as of recording time, it is still Chiefs by 3 in Tampa. The Chiefs are a 163 money line favorite where I'm looking. The Bucks are plus 145 at that book. The Bucks, you're getting around even money to get the 3 points. The total right now is about 55.5, 56. Where do you want to start, Jeff?
Let's start with this. I have a Tampa Bay futures ticket at plus 1,100 to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
50 to win 550. Big spender.
That's awesome.
What do I do? So here's the options. Let it ride. You know, Chiefs lose, whatever. I'll make money. Do I put a little bit on the Chiefs money line just to hedge a tiny bit out just so I make some money? You know, do I put like 300 to win? What would it be like? It'd be under 150, right? About 150 maybe?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I don't know. I think I should just let it ride.
Well,
what do you think?
I guess it depends on I think it depends on who you actually like. Like, I think that is one ingredient that we should factor in here, because, you know, you could if you think Tampa's if you have Tampa winning this game, that will affect how you play this, but I don't think you do.
I don't have him winning this game. So here's my general thought about the game is I don't like the number 3. Hmm. If it was at 2.5 or 3.5, I think I would take the Kansas City 2.5 and Tampa Bay at 3.5. 3 feels like a number where It's just being batted around back and forth. And a lot of the money's on Kansas City too. So I would lean Tampa there just from a gambling perspective. Like, I'm taking the fading the public idea. It's going with Tampa Bay in this game because all the money's in Kansas City. And I think the line makers know if the line does get to 3.5, sharps are coming in strong on Tampa Bay. And they don't think they want that. They just kind of want to keep the public, money on Kansas City, have some, kind of split it 50/50, right? Because if you come, the sharp plays are going to come with a lot of money on Tampa Bay at +3.5. Do you think that's kind of why it hasn't moved very much?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think at 3.5, I'll pound Tampa. So the Chiefs can play anywhere from a B game all the way up to an A-plus game and win. Like, they have a clear path to win. Tampa needs 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 to go right. Okay, they need to turn the ball over. They need to, to slow down and hit Pat Mahomes. They need, the Tom Brady to figure out how to handle pressure. They need their special teams to play a little bit better than they have. Like, they need all these things to go right. And guess what, guys? The Niners did it last year for 53 minutes. They're up 20-10, had the ball back to ice the game down. So you can do it. It's just hard to do it for full 60 minutes. But I also thought they would lose to New Orleans and lose to Green Bay. And they won both those games. So as confident as I feel about the Chiefs winning this game, the gambling part of me would probably take Tampa in the points, especially at 3.5. So getting back to my original bet, I will probably just bet maybe enough to cover the $50 on the Chiefs money line. And that's about it, because I'm not a hedger. Like, I don't like to hedge bets. I famously had this 10 team open parlay that I lost in the WNBA game at the 10th leg. And I didn't hedge it. And people were like, why didn't you hedge it? I go, because I didn't want to. Okay, it wasn't that much money. Yeah. Dude, how about that, right?
I wish there was a prop for Will Jeff mentioned the WNBA in our Super Bowl betting podcast. +800, yes. I do remember you texting me about it and me being like, what is wrong with you?
I had a 10 team open parlay one summer, and I had 1-9. It was paying out 109-1, and I needed one more play. And the Minnesota Lynx were like 15-1, playing like 2-14 in some Indiana team. They were favored. They were money line -1500 on the money line that game. So I was like, I'll take them, and then I'll just win the parlay. I'll be 116-1 was my payout, and the Lynx lost by like 13 at home. It's like Indiana's only road win all season. God.
That's incredible. I mean, this is just why it's never ultimately a profitable business to bet on sports unless you are very much better than all of us.
No, but we have a lot of fun doing it. So I don't hedge, basically. So I might just let it ride. So those are my thoughts on the game. How do you see specifically the line and the total?
I mean, I'll start with the game itself. I mean, I was just sort of like zooming out and thinking about this game because we have so much time to think about it. And I think it comes down to three big advantages here. And they're on both sides. The first advantage, clearly, is the Bucs defensive line against whatever's left of the Chiefs offensive line. Hopefully your brother plays. Hopefully the Chiefs O-line is healthy. I saw a post from Duvernay Tardif where he was like in the snow, like on Twitter or something like that, and I was like, the Chiefs could really use that guy this week. Like, too bad he's like such a good doctor and like is saving the world instead of protecting Pat Mahomes. But that offensive line is potentially an issue. And interestingly, the Chiefs in Mahomes's career are 10-11-1 against the spread when Mahomes gets sacked two or more times in a game. So that's concerning, right? Because I think the big reason, other than basically Green Bay blowing the game in the NFC Championship, it felt like the Bucs were really able to get to Rodgers and make him uncomfortable, even though he played a phenomenal game. So that's pretty worrisome. The next big advantage, I think, and this is not to be disrespectful to Bruce Arians, but I think Andy Reid, the gap between those two guys is pretty sizable. You even just look at the way that the last game between these two teams played out. The Bucs just couldn't solve Tyreek Hill. Like, they just couldn't stop him. Like, the whole game, it was clear that he got hot early, and they just kept feeding him, the Chiefs. And the Bucks just had no answer. I mean, that was that game where he had like the best fantasy football game of all time. Yeah. Also, you just look at this is another, I mean, this isn't necessarily indicative, but it's potentially interesting. Andy Reid, legendary off the bye, 63% against the spread. Bruce Arians, only 44% against the spread after a bye. So, you know, even just the way that the Bucks played the NFC Championship, so aggressive in the second half, Brady throwing all those picks, like a few little miscues of like not declining like that offsides penalty, just like little things where it just seems Reid it has a clear advantage there. And then the obvious one is Mahomes, right? Like it's hard to say, you know, Brady is not as good as anyone, but Mahomes, remember the Bucks defense is great, but last time Mahomes, they played in week 12, 462 for three touchdowns. You know, the Bucks do a lot of blitzing. Mahomes is amazing against the blitz. At one point this year, his touchdown interception ratio was like 12 or 13 to zero. Granted, his offensive line is a little weaker, but I mean, do you see this game coming down to like, wow, the Bucks sacked Mahomes a bunch of times? Like, no.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. So as we get into the props, I bet all the props I could on the Bucks sack totals for individual players. JPP, I bet Shaq Barrett, and I bet Vita Vea at plus 550 to get a sack. I do think it's a problem for the Chiefs, but they still have Pat Mahomes. And this offensive line has been beat up for most of the year, and it has not mattered. However, they have not faced a pass rush like Tampa Bay. And I do think that they get home to Mahomes. The question becomes, right, is the pass rush has to be coordinated with the coverage unit. And so do I think Tampa Bay will be able to hang with the Chiefs wide receivers? And I think this time, for most of the game, the answer is yes. They're going to sit back in coverage. They played cover one the first game, man coverage, for the first quarter. Tyreek Hill, 200 yards, right? They got out of that in the second half, really most of the second quarter and second half. They sat more back in zone. They did that against Green Bay this weekend as well, played a bunch of two-man, cut off the underneath routes, and pressured on Aaron Rodgers. So I do think that they're going to have a big game. In fact, I would take, you know, if you could find yourself a total sacks for the game combined, we'll talk about the Chiefs in a second here and one specific I like for them on that side as well. But I would take it all, Matt. I think that those are good bets to make as far as how I think the game will go, that they'll pressure Pat Mahomes with two backup tackles, two backup guards, and a center who got benched early in the season. We've never, ever seen an offensive line this beat up to ever play in a Super Bowl. There's not even a remote close second, Matt.
That's
And at some point, I've been thinking about this because I'm with you. It has not mattered, right? Like it hasn't mattered. Even last year, you know, Nick Bosa, to my opinion, was the best player in the field last year in the Super Bowl. But in the end, the Niners lost. And the Niners lost because offensively, they couldn't keep up. So the question is, can Tampa keep up? We'll talk about that in probably in a second. But at some point, having a beat-up offensive line has to matter. Like, it has to matter. And maybe it's this game. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's next year. I don't know when it is, Matt. But it feels like you can't go into a game of this magnitude with backups at both tackles, backups at both guards, and come out unscathed.
Well, doesn't it still, I mean, if that's the case, if the Chiefs win, which by the way is what is my pick for now, don't you think that Andy Reid can game plan around that a bit?
He can, and I'm sure he will, with quick passes to the edge, with screens, with things like that. But if you can't run the ball, which they probably can't do because Tampa Bay's rush defense is really good, you're going to find yourself in third and longer situations. And guess what? Tampa knows this also, right? Tampa knows the Chiefs are going to try to get to the edge to spread out the defense because they can't attack in the middle because they can't run the football. And this is a game where it feels very much like both teams know what the other is going to do. And to your point about Andy Reid versus their coaching staff, it's whose coaching staff can make the adjustments and get the guys in the right place.
I think to sort of jump ahead a bit, one of the quick passes for Kansas City just feels like a thing they're going to have to do. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, over under 2.5 pass receptions. Same with Darrell Williams. The Edwards-Helaire, you can get that over the over for plus 119, which I think is pretty good value. Darrell Williams is plus 186 for over 2.5, and he's proved pretty indispensable. So those are interesting ones.
I was going to say, I like Mahomes over 28.5 completions for that exact reason.
Interesting.
I just think they're going to find ways to get, you know, even those little jet sweeps, man, those count as passes when he kind of tosses the ball forward.
Huh. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I've been pretty rock solid on the Chiefs since, honest, but
well, I am too.
Your stuff about the offensive line has actually, like,
it's no fun to come on this podcast and say every week the Chiefs are better than everyone else. I can make that. It's, to my opinion, it's more fun for me as an analyst and someone that you come to listen to give you the reasons how they can lose, because we all know how they can win. Mahomes is just better than everyone else. You know, like I love Nick Wright. If you want to go on Twitter and find someone who'll tell you Chiefs fans they're the best team ever, that's your guy. And I could be Nick Wright. I could come on here and tell you they're the greatest. I mean, he had a thing today that was great. Pat Mahomes in the playoffs. He's played eight playoff games now, I believe. No, it's more than eight playoff games. But no matter what, he's been ahead or tying the fourth quarter in of 62%. 62%. I'm butchering this. 96%. Wow. He has been ahead in the fourth quarter or tied in the playoffs so far. 90% of the minutes he's played in those situations.
And looking back historically, like I'm sure you did a lot of digging on like Tom Brady and Super Bowls and stuff. Like Mahomes hasn't had like these elite defenses to sort of bail him out in a few spots like Tom Brady has over the years.
But the Chiefs though, defense does play much better than we give them credit for in these situations.
For sure.
Like they have done a good job in big moments. They're very good at defending the deep pass. And I'm curious to see Spagnuolo against Tom Brady. We saw the first matchup, they blitzed the heck out of him. And they're going to blitz him again. And what answer is Tom Brady? It's why I like Ronald Jones and Fournette, if you can find some good numbers on them, for their receiving totals to be over. The Chiefs allow the most yards in the NFL to running backs in the pass game. They're 31st in EPA defending running backs in the pass game. The problem is Fournette and Jones drop a ton of passes. So, but I think that like, I think the receiving yards prop might be better than receiving catches. We saw Devin Singletary drop a pass that would have got him over in one catch.
Yeah, that was what you had. Pressure.
Like that to me feels like a way to go.
It's
for
funny,
the running
I had
backs.
That one too. Fournette's number is a little bit higher. The one I had circled Ronald Jones to, mainly the number I'm getting is 4.5 receiving yards. Because Fournette in that Green Bay game, he had two drops that were killers. And, you know, for playoff Lenny, everybody thinks he's going to be their guy. He also blew a pass protection that led to a Brady interception. And his snap count's gone down. He, against Washington, Fournette took 80% of the snaps. Against New Orleans, he took 68%. And against Green Bay, he took 69%. Nice percent of snaps. Jones has went from like hardly any to in that 20% range. I think that, you know, in one pass, Jones could get obviously well over 5 yards. Feels like a good one.
Yeah, they have a rushing, I see in one of these, they have a rushing and receiving yards for Ronald Jones combined over 41.5. Feels like
that's
a good
really
number.
Good. Wow, and I'm looking at the book I play at, like Fournette's pass receptions is now, it's 3, over under 3, and the over is juiced to minus 300. So clearly other people are thinking about this, but maybe you can get some value on Jones.
So why won't they move that to 3.5?
Seems silly. I don't know.
Because under 3, I get they don't want under 3. So those are, you know, there's some other things I really like. I don't have a lot of Tampa. So I have a couple Tampa bets that I like. I like Tampa to win the first quarter plus 155. It's kind of an interesting bet because Tom Brady has not scored a single point in any Super Bowl he's been in the first quarter. But the Chiefs also start very slow. Something has to give. I think there's a lot of value there in that play. But also, Matt, how about this one? Highest scoring half, second half, minus 105. But the way both teams start slow and the way that both teams have played better in the second half the last couple of weeks, Highest scoring half, second half, minus 105.
Okay, so this is now getting spooky because we're starting to talk about the same stuff. Doesn't it feel like the first quarter, first half under is like the GameStop of these prop bets this year? Everybody and their mother is betting, oh, Tom Brady doesn't score in that first quarter. The Chiefs always start down 10. It's like, there's no way that's going to happen. Everyone's saying it's going to happen. I'm zagging. My bet for this, which sort of follows the same line of thinking, Tom Brady to throw a first quarter touchdown, plus 154. What are the chances that in 10 straight Super Bowls, Tom Brady is not throwing a first quarter touchdown? There's just no chance. And I feel like this Super Bowl, think about the NFC Championship 2 weeks ago. The Bucs came out just crisp. They came out hot. They know that they can't, you know, when the game gets longer, Tom Brady, obviously, they have all the faith in the world in him, but they can't spot points to the Chiefs. They can't do that. They can't afford it. They're going to be home. The little crowd that's going to be there is probably going to be behind them. I think they come out hot and Brady has that stat in his head and the Chiefs are going to have to play catch up early.
I'm just curious how much they're going to run the ball in first down this game because that's their MO. And maybe they hit a big play action pass early in the game because everyone knows, especially the Chiefs, they're gonna pass the football or they're gonna run the football early on. So let's pass the football and you might get a big explosive play early in the game that leads to some early points. That would definitely kind of break the monkey or take the monkey off his back as far as scoring in the first quarter. What makes this game so interesting is if you were to tell you that both of us are betting against the team who has the better trench matchup, right? The offensive defensive line, you'd think we were crazy. But looking at even Tampa's offensive line, three guys should be all pros. Left guard, center, right tackle. Donovan Smith, the left tackle's okay. They have a backup right guard in right now. And Chris Jones, the Chiefs' best pass rusher, is really good in big games. He shows sure up does. To big games. He played really well in the Super Bowl. And against Tom Brady, he has him and Tom talk shit to each other all game. So I got Chris Jones, one or more sacks, plus 162. I love that. How about this, Matt? MVP, Chris Jones, plus 12,000. Wow. He would need like three sacks and a forced fumble, like some crazy shit to happen. Huh. And they're going to have to find ways to block him. But that's something that, like, out of the box MVP could be Chris Jones plus 12,000.
I like that. I mean, that's not one you're putting too much down on. But I do agree. Funny. I mean, just to stick on MVP for a second. The odds of it being someone other than Mahomes or Brady, obviously, every year it never happens, it feels like. But especially with these two guys, like I was thinking about if the Bucks win, I think that's a fine play for the Chiefs. Like if I think, you know, there are a bunch, like I don't think Kelsey or Hill wins without Mahomes. Like I just, unless, you know, they have one of those games like Tyreek had the last time, but on defense, I could see it for, if the Bucks win, is there any chance that Tom Brady doesn't win the MVP? Like, does he need to throw five picks?
I mean, I think the I think it would have to be that like Fournette has a 200-yard game. Like they win by running the ball.
I know this is like a pretty square angle here, but I just can't figure another way around it. Like I agree. If you think the Bucks win this game, it's sort of like Scorsese winning the Oscar for The Departed. Like that wasn't his best movie, but it just needed to happen at some point. You can get Tom Brady plus 232 to win the MVP. If you like the Bucks, I might just pick that anyway. Like it's Tom Brady. Like if he wins his seventh Super Bowl, people are going to want to say like, I was there. He was the greatest. That's the reason. Right.
Yeah. I also think there's sticking on the same lines about, you know, who could be, if it's not Tom Brady or Pat Mahomes, what if like a Tyrann Mathieu has like a two interception game, you know, 12 tackles because, you know, he does so much for that defense and they're going to pressure Tom Brady and Mathieu kind of has that one robber, kind of like lurks everywhere, figure things out. So it feels like if you're going defensive player, it's like either JPP who just gets a, you know, a couple sacks and forces turnover and Chris Jones or Honey Badger. Like I don't even think an offensive player outside of Fournette, who's not a quarterback, can win. I don't think anyone in the Chiefs outside of Pat Mahomes is going to win. And maybe Fournette has 200 yards and he wins. That's about it.
I even think, I mean, if Brady throws a touchdown and Fournette has 200, I still think Brady has a decent shot at winning it. You can get Matthew around plus 4,000. That's pretty good.
A couple other things I like before we get into the two most fun bets, I think, on the board. This is a Fox bet. I'll give you this one for Fox bet because I do some stuff for them. Kelce plus Evans, both score a touchdown plus 300.
Kelce and Evans. But wow, why that feels kind of high. Yeah.
Right? I think they're just hooking people up with bets.
That's
with money.
Yeah, that's one. A pretty interesting one.
How about this one I found? Ready? Any field goal or PAT to hit an upright, yes, plus 425.
I love it. In, I love it, man.
In. Harrison Butker cannot kick a PAT to save his life. The Chiefs kicker. And Ryan Suckup is, you know, is accurate, but sometimes has a little bit of issues. Plus 425. Hell yes. Let's go. Great.
I have one that's a little bit less fun than that, but it's one that I do like. And it goes back to this Tom Brady scoring a touchdown in the first quarter thing. The team to score first to win, taking the no side on that, you can usually get plus money on that. I got that at plus 130 earlier in the week. First of all, this is essentially a coin flip anyway, but Kansas City so often gets into a hole that this could be the like, okay, here we go. Like they, you know, they're down 10, but they ended up winning and it wasn't even that close. Like that could happen. But also the last time these two teams played, the Chiefs came out super hot in that game, which was the last time that they did that pretty much since. And the Bucks kept it close later. So they could have potentially overtaken the Chiefs and made that bet cash in that game too. So that's one I definitely did like.
That's a good one. I'm trying to find this. I haven't been able to find it on any of the books I use, but I've seen it floating around there. Is Chiefs team total rushing yards, whatever it is, just take the under. Like, I think I saw 80, around 80, take the under 80. Just under 80, be done with it. Like, they don't want to rush the ball. B, they don't care about rushing the football. C, their offensive line's beat up. And D, Tampa Bay is going to stuff the run. Like, it's not that complicated.
Interesting. You know, Jeff, one thing we didn't even talk about yet is the total in this game.
I have no feel for it.
So, we could just skip it.
It's so high. I would take the under just because we're contrarians a lot of times.
Yeah.
If you are betting this game following the principles that should win you the most money over time, you're taking Tampa and the under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably are. But if you enjoy having fun while watching your Super Bowl, there is the potential to take a alternate spread, an adjusted total. One kind of fun one, if you think this is going to be like a super high scoring game, you could take over 63.5 points for 2-1. They get really spicy. Like if you really want to get nuts and go over 70.5 for plus 412, that's probably not a great bet, but that is a lot of fun to root for. And if they do come out hot, this could be like those college football championships that seem to happen every year now where it's like, oh my God, like what is going on here? So I do like that 63.5 over.
I do think there's some live bet opportunities in this game. One, if the Chiefs get down 10-0, like Chiefs money line will be even, maybe. By then. And then also you mentioned the scoring. I think a lot of scoring early will lead to a live game under bet because Tampa Bay loves to run the football. Like they'll get conservative and so will Kansas City. Like just knowing the coaches, like that's just what they're going to do. I also think Tom Brady being shown first after the anthem for sure. Gonna happen. Lock it up.
I love that.
Lock of everyone. Will there be a mention of Bill Belichick? I saw that being, I would say no. Romo and Nance will not mention.
Interesting. Because I like how many times will Patriots be said over two for plus 126. I love that. I have a feeling that just talking about
Patriots. If this was Aikman and Buck and Al and Chris, they would do it. But I'm not sure Romo and Nance. Maybe Romo, but not Nance. Not
this is the problem with these bets. It's like, okay, let's say the Bucks win, and it's Tom Brady's first Super Bowl since winning it with the Patriots. There's one. Then it's like Tom.
But that's
the question. I actually don't know, and I feel like these books, like, they could just say like, oh, doesn't count.
Most of them. So make sure when you bet, a lot of these you're gonna find on your offshores, right? A lot of these aren't regulated enough to be in a regular book, but there are gonna be house rules for how these are graded, especially the national anthem. Okay, national anthem is very much graded to how the house has the rules. They'll tell you, hey, it's the home of the brave. The first brave is it. Second brave, not counting. Like, and you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna be very specific. If you listen to the podcast earlier this week, Chris Long was very adamant that this will be an under national anthem. I've done no research on it. I'm taking the under just because Chris said so. So if you lose money, tweet at Chris and tell him he lost your money.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, but he did such a good job with it.
I've never seen someone talk about the anthem in
that manner. He was very serious about it. I mean, the concern is that the duet previously has gone over. So, but who am I to question a Super Bowl champion?
See, I would have thought the duet goes over because both people want their time to sing.
Of course. They got to get their shine.
I was surprised to hear him say that he thought under was the way to go.
I also was, but who are we to contradict him?
I think Chris is as good at gambling as we are. So,
terrible.
I don't know. I don't know how important it is. What his word is on this stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Chris and I talk a lot about gambling. He wagers a little more than I do on these contests. Do you want to get to your favorite conversation every Super Bowl to have?
It's this every year I pry you for inside information on it, and either due to lack of good reporting by you or just you have a good poker face, you've yet to give it to me, even though you very well could. But I'll just get to it here. So the first time we ever met, that's famous day where I kept taking the shirts off my back, you had the best angle for what color the Gatorade will be that gets dumped on the winning team that I had ever heard. And it blew my mind. And if I recall, you cashed it that year. So I'm going to ask you again, knowing full well that you know someone on the Chiefs, so that could potentially give you some inside info, but what have you got for us when it comes to what color Gatorade will be poured on the winning team?
So I've told you this before. The Gatorade color is most closely resembled to the jersey they're wearing because they do not want the Gatorade to stain the jersey. So let's say that you're wearing white jerseys. You're not going to have a dark color Gatorade because it would stain your jersey. If you're the Bucks and you're wearing white jerseys, you're not going to have orange Gatorade because orange Gatorade would spill as you drink it and create orange on your shirt, right? And look at this. Here's the Gatorade colors of the winners. Ready? So the Chiefs in 2020, last year, with the red tops, wore orange, right? Mm-hmm. Makes sense, red tops. The Patriots in 2019, they wore white uniforms, I believe.
Because Tom Brady's got a great record with the lights.
Yeah, so they have blue, so that does not work there. Eagles wore the green uniforms. They had yellow. That makes sense, right? Kind of that would make sense. So Bill Belichick has been missed with it twice or three times. So 17-0. Broncos in 16, orange. Yep. Oh, makes sense, right? They were wearing the darker jerseys to play the – no, they were wearing white jerseys, weren't they, that year? Panthers year. Panthers wore all black, didn't they?
Let me look. Panthers, Broncos, Super Bowl.
They wore all black that year.
50.
Keep going. So a lot of these match, like Giants in 2012 wore purple, right? They had the blue uniforms. So they tend to match. Steelers and had yellow. It tends to match the uniform color. Not all the time, obviously.
Denver did wear the whites. But Carolina was the black.
Yeah. So, but So they had the orange, which is kind of odd that you would have orange with white uniforms. So you see here, like all the white uniforms typically, and you know, Patriots are blue every time, by the way. So the last couple of years, they've been going blue, 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 blue. So it typically resembles the color, or really the hue of your jersey. So if you think Chiefs are going to win, orange and red is the way to go. If you think the Bucks are going to win, you're probably looking at a lighter color.
And it's never clear, right? Like, I feel like every year I get sucked into
betting. So looking at right here, we've had clear a lot more in 2008, 2006, and 20, and 2005.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, right now I'm getting red plus 342. I think this means you can rule out like purple. You can rule out blue. And who's betting no liquid? Come on. I think you either get like a red, yellow, and orange. There's always variations. But you would think that the yellow doesn't really fit. So it seems to be maybe you just sprinkle a little on the orange and the red.
Yeah, I think for Tampa, I think with the white jerseys, man, they're not going to have like orange, I don't think. Maybe they will. This year's different too because of COVID. They're different like Gatorade protocols.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of curious to see what.
Maybe
what
no liquid
be.
Is the play. Oh, my God. Maybe that's it. Maybe like there's some violation of.
I need to find out. I should have texted someone about this beforehand because I think every player has like individual bottles this year.
This is like. This is changing my whole like opinion about everything on the fly here. Maybe we need to look into the COVID protocols.
But I do know, as I've said before, I've talked to you about this. You try to closely resemble the jersey color you're wearing, as evidenced by what we saw the last couple of years.
Wow. I'm all right. Well,
and there's also different colors of Gator on the sideline too. So, it's not just they typically just don't go all orange.
So in the AFC Championship, Andy Reid was doused with confetti instead of Gatorade.
Because he probably doesn't want to be cold. It's freezing.
Huh. But I'm wondering, but because they're not sharing the bottles, I really wonder if actually no liquid is the play here. Did we just like crack a code, or are we just at this point just losing steam?
I think we're rambling, but almost might have also cracked a code. I think both are true.
Okay, I'm definitely betting no liquid and red. That's gonna be my move.
Let's do it. It's the last game of the year, man. Let's make some magic.
You gotta leave it all out there.
All right, buddy. Did we cover everything we wanted? Did you get all your props in?
I think we do. The final prediction, I guess we're both thinking.
It's different. My gambling prediction is I said the score would be 38-27 Chiefs, but it's different picking scores than gambling. Like, again, like 3.5. I keep doubting Tampa, dude. They keep proving me wrong.
I know. I just don't feel like they really belong here. I thought that Green Bay.
Well, I thought
they
don't belong here either, but they keep doing it. They keep doing it, Matt.
Yeah. I will take the Chiefs to win by one score. I'll say 7, and it'll be 34-27.
So you're going with 34-27 is under then, right?
Over 61.
Oh, geez, I can't do math. I have to pull up my actual. I have an actual calculator. Look, see,
it's great.
I have like maybe an actual like $10 calculator at my desk that for those.
This oh, my God.
It's an audio podcast, but I have it right here. Matt can see it.
It looks like a Texas Instruments. Can it calculate the Minnesota Lynx line
is that
unable to?
It's a 12-digit electronic calculator. It's a KK87837-12S.
Well, thank you for that serial number. That's riveting information. I am wondering, so it can store 12 pieces of information? Is that every line of your WNBA parlay?
It is. screw you, that stupid parlay. The Minnesota Lynx, it was like the Indiana, who's the Indiana team? Indiana Fever, maybe? There's some money they made in WNBA, man. That reverse line movement is no joke. Only sharps are betting those games.
Hey, maybe that's our show in March. We'll be talking about WNBA reverse
line movement. I
would like
to keep our listeners. We will not be doing that.
That's
so,
a tough one.
Moving forward, we're going to have our show like usual early in the week. I would like to do a show later in the week, Matt. We'll figure out what that show is going to be. Maybe we'll look at futures right away. And then I think we're taking a little bit of break. I'm not quite sure. I'm also hoping if the Bucks win, I know I'm going to have a guest. If the Chiefs win, we're going to work on it too. So we're still going to have a lot of fun next week. Week after that, we might take a little bit of a February break for a little bit, then come roaring back as free agency hits in March. It's been a long year for everyone. And I'm taking a trip too at the end of the month. So I am out here. You're not even in New York. You didn't get the 2 feet of snow.
No, I did not. I went to Delaware.
Is Delaware like a, is it like, it doesn't even feel like a state. It just feels like a thing that's like,
is it? Our president's from here, man. It's a great, it's a great state. He has a house actually like 10 miles away from here.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. You're basically neighbors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's going to come over later.
All right. We'll end with this. Thank you, guys. Our viewers, listeners, everything's increased a lot the last month. Really appreciate that, guys. Really appreciate the support. Glad you guys enjoyed Chris and Steven last episode. And season's over, man. They made it. They made it. And we've enjoyed bringing the show to you each and every week. Hope you enjoyed our shenanigans. Obviously, you know, not we're not perfect in the gambling world, but we sure enjoy doing this show.
I saw a statistic that the over under in the Super Bowl is exactly 500 over time, and that's us. We're the Super Bowl over under. We're 500.
41-40-4, buddy. We were a little bit over this year. We did it.
That's right. Well, barely. By a hair. That's us.
By a hair, we did it. Which maybe it's a new title of the podcast, By a Hair. So we'll work on that later. All right, guys. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll be back next week with a full recap. And we'll have some Super Bowl guests, depending on who wins the game. And enjoy the game. Talk to you guys then.